This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Well, so much for that.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. The dollar took a dive today against other currencies, and oil prices shot up $5 to $128 a barrel. All it took was one comment from the head of the European Central Bank. He suggested the bank might raise interest rates. Whenever that happens, or rates fall in the U.S., the dollar tends to lose strength. And when that happens, oil tends to gain value. Yesterday, Wall Street had its best day in more than a month. The Dow gained 213 points to 12,604. The NASDAQ added 46 to 2549. And the S&P 500 was up 2%, 26 points to 1404. A Republican filibuster delivered a quick end to this week's debate on a Senate bill that would cut U.S. greenhouse gas emissions. That sets the bill back until at least the next session of Congress. But for lobbyists, the work is just beginning. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
There's a simple reason so many companies and special interest groups came to Washington this week for the Senate's debate on the Lieberman-Warner Climate Security Act.
When you put a lot of money on the table, a lot of people show up.
That's Ray Kopp with the energy think tank Resources for the Future. He says the bill could end up costing big emitters trillions of dollars if they can't clean up their emissions and have to buy pollution permits instead. And that spawned a lobbying frenzy as everyone from Dow Chemical to big utilities try to bend the rules in their favor. General Electric is pushing for big federal payouts to upgrade power plants with its own equipment. Others hope to expand the number of permits they can buy. One study says these side deals could set back any meaningful cuts in U.S. greenhouse gases by several decades. But lobbyist Scott Siegel says that's democracy at work.
As I tell my clients and as they tell me, everyone is well advised to have a seat at the climate change table.
He says when you're talking about a bill that would essentially reorder the U.S. economy, few players are willing to stay silent. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Congress is also getting involved in a fight over who sits on the board of a major railroad company. The company CSX controls 21,000 miles of train tracks in America. A British hedge fund called TCI wants to take control of CSX's board of directors. Jeremy Hobson has more.
TCI is shorthand for the Children's Investment Fund. The British fund gives some of its profits to children's charities. But in a letter this week to the Treasury Department, several U.S. senators called TCI an aggressive hedge fund from the Cayman Islands. The senator said an investigation is necessary to prevent a possible threat to national security. Nancy McClernand at the Organization for International Investment says that's way over the top.
Look, absolutely, railroads are an important part of our infrastructure, but the issue at hand here has nothing to do with national security. TCI can't do anything on its own. That's the point. They are a minority investor, and that's all this is. This is a proxy fight.
A CSX spokesman said national security was not the company's concern, but he did say that TCI would cut capital investment and impede the growth of CSX. The two sides face off at a shareholder meeting later this month. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Areva, solutions for producing CO2-free energy and transmitting and distributing electricity. Online at us.areva.com. By Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit Fortune 500 company helping members thrive in retirement. You can learn more at thrivent.com/retirement. And by gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter most. People are talking about business at gather.com.
Tomorrow, the horse named Big Brown will try to make history by winning the Triple Crown. He's already won the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness.
And they turn for home in the Preakness, and Big Brown has seized the lead, and he is pulling away. Big Brown's run. He is disappearing from the field. He's in front by five.
Now it's on to the final race, the Belmont. Big Brown is the 2-5 favorite. And a Triple Crown would be good for the business of horse racing. But there are other considerations with this horse. Ashley Milne-Tite has more.
If Big Brown wins the Belmont Stakes tomorrow, he'll be the first horse in 30 years to win the coveted Triple Crown. But not everyone's excited. Paul Swangard directs the Warsaw Center for Sports Marketing at the University of Oregon.
The underlying theme of some of this horse's baggage has created this sour taste in many people's mouth, where you find people actually rooting against the horse when, in many respects, what the horse has done has been pretty remarkable on the track.
That baggage includes a trainer who's been up for various drug violations, both horse and human, and a majority owner who told tall tales of a successful Wall Street past. Stephen Crist is publisher of Daily Racing Form. He says it's the owner's aggressive business tactics that turn off many fans.
They are planning to leverage their success with this horse into a much vaster fund, which they've likened to a hedge fund. And I think the intrusion of that kind of investment in racing is what's put a few people's noses out of joint.
But some are happy to look at the horse rather than his handlers. Lingering at an off-track betting shop in the middle of the afternoon, this racing fan didn't want to give his name. He said the antics of Big Brown's colourful manager are irrelevant.
He's been suspended. He's had various things happen in his career. But right now he has the horse of a lifetime, and I wish him well.
A horse that, despite being just 3 years old, will only race till the end of this year. After that, Big Brown will focus on siring the next generation of racehorses. His owners have already locked in a return on their investment regardless of tomorrow's result. A stud farm has paid more than $50 million for his breeding rights. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
The next time you're at the grocery store, take a good look at the watermelons. See if you can see one that's worth maybe $6,000. That's what someone just paid for a watermelon in Japan. This is a special watermelon that's only grown on a certain island, but melons are considered a luxury item in Japan. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.